Good morning. If you are a visitor here, you are very welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming out on such a beautiful day as this. At last, the April showers have caught up with us and are here, and that's obviously good for farmers, Roger. Yeah, we need some rain. Yeah, good for the gardens as well. Great. Welcome. My name is Peter. I'm on the leadership team here, and you join us right at the beginning of a new series, as Bruce said, on the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. We've looked at the kind of people we want to be so far this year, but we're going to continue kind of, in a way, on that theme that we actually want to be a people of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to do over the next, I think it's 7 weeks, is look at three chapters from Corinthians, the first letter to Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. So if you want to be finding Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bibles, that will help. Just before we read that, just a little bit of introduction to this book. It's a book, a letter written by Paul to the church in Corinth. But actually, it's not only to the church in Corinth. He says in chapter 1, in his introduction, it's to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus. So if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and if you are in every place or any place, this letter is for you. So originally addressed to the church in Corinth, but it is for us today. Corinth was a busy port in Greece, with many people from different backgrounds kind of passing through it. Officially, it was a Roman colony, a Roman settlement with Roman culture and values going on there. But with so many people passing through it, we get all these different other kind of cultures and religions going on, and people worshipping different gods and different idols. So it's a very multicultural city on the coast of Greece. And this letter in our Bibles is titled The First Letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, that is correct that it's the first letter we have in our Bible to the Corinthians, but it's not the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Okay, we don't have that letter, but we know that there was a previous letter because he tells us in this letter. Did you follow that? Excellent. And that's in chapter 5, verse 9, where he says, I wrote to you in my letter. So there was another letter that went before it. And being good people that they are, the church in Corinth, they responded to his letter. And we know that because in their response, they raised a number of issues that they wanted Paul to address. And he does that in this letter that we've got here. So if you like, there's a Corinthians version 0 that we don't have. There's a response that we don't have. And then we have another letter back from Paul of 1 Corinthians, and then it carries on with 2 Corinthians. So how do we know that the Corinthian church wrote that letter back and that Paul's responding to it? Well, of course, it's because he tells us. Chapter 7, verse 1, now concerning the matters about which you wrote. I think that's fairly obvious. Yeah, that there's a response going on. And he goes on there to deal with the issues of marriage there. And chapter 7, verse 25, he says the same thing again. Now concerning the betrothed, and he deals with the unmarried and the widowed. And chapter 8, verse 1, now concerning food offered to idols. And he deals with that issue. And then we come to chapter 12, which is where we're starting. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So let's pray first, and then we'll read the first six verses of this through. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for your book. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it by your Holy Spirit. And as we consider these verses now, would you just bring them alive to us? Would you reveal more of yourself to us? Would you reveal more of your Son to us? Would you reveal more of the Holy Spirit to us? For your praise and glory, we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at the first six verses of chapter 12 today. They're going to come up on the screen as well, hopefully. Bum, bum, bum. And just to confuse you all, I'm using the ESV version today. Okay, I'll let them fiddle with that. It's probably a big button called Live or something like that, Pip. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Okay. Hooray! Excellent. So, as I said, Paul is addressing an issue that the church in Corinth has asked him to address in their response, in their letter to him. And he starts off, we know that now concerning, he says this is one of those issues is addressed. What is the issue? It's the issue of spiritual gifts and how they are used. And he says to the church, I don't want you to be uninformed on this issue of spiritual gifts, okay? I think the NIV says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this issue. And so over the next three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, he informs them. He tells them all about spiritual gifts, what they are, and how they should be used. And Paul is actually addressing an issue here in the church in Corinth that has crept up, that the issue of spiritual gifts are given to the church to build the church up. But in the church in Corinth, it was doing exactly the opposite. It was bringing about divide and splitting the church because the use of spiritual gifts had become symbols of power within the church. My gift is better than your gift, therefore I'm better than you. That kind of thing was going on. And obviously that's a terrible misuse of the gifts. The gifts are there to build up the church, help the church function more effectively, and not to divide it. And as a leadership team here at Elsham Community Church, we're not saying that we're coming from the same starting point. Far from it. But in the same way, we want everyone to be informed about spiritual gifts, what they are, and how they should be used. For some of you, you will have heard numerous talks on this subject. You would have studied these chapters numerous times, but it's always good to be reminded of what it says and to revisit these scriptures. And for some others of you, this may be the first time that you've delved into these chapters. And our encouragement to you is to join with us over the next 7 weeks and really get to grips with what is being said through these times together, through these talks, through studying these chapters. And if there are things that you don't understand and questions that come up, then I encourage you to find someone you trust and to ask them about it. When he said that, what exactly did he mean? You can ask in your growth groups. You can ask your growth group leaders. They are only too pleased to answer all your questions. I see a few people shaking their heads. Okay, you can come back to us as an eldership team, as a leadership team, and ask us. But through this, we want you to be informed. Just as Paul wanted the church there in Corinth to be informed, we want you to be informed as well. Why? Because actually, as a church, we would say that this is something that is one of our key values as a church together. This is important to us. This whole issue of the Holy Spirit and who he is and the gifts that he gives. Not only for us as a church, but as a family of churches and relational mission and even wider to new frontiers. The Holy Spirit is a key value for us. It's important. So we want you to be well informed on this subject. That's verse one. Let's read it. Let's go on. Verses 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. No one can ever say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. As I said in my introduction about Corinth, Paul is kind of picking up on the issue here that the background of some of the members of the church would have been around that whole pagan worship, those pagan worship services that was going on within the city of Corinth, the worship of idols. And you know, I'm not quite sure what that looked like, but you can kind of imagine that perhaps people getting carried away into some kind of ecstasy and chanting and strange movements go on. I don't know what pagan worship looks like, but something like that. And therefore, some people may have had concerns about what was going on in their services, worshipping God, especially around this whole issue of perhaps speaking in languages and tongues, as we kind of heard this morning. And some people may have been concerned, well, is that a throwback to pagan worship and what was going on there? Or what's happening? And so Paul kind of gives a test in verse 3 here. He says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. It says accursed, great word in the ESV. The NIV says just Jesus is cursed, cursing Jesus, blaspheming God. Okay, nobody does that if they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. So you don't need to worry about kind of what they are saying if they're using different languages. It's not the same as pagan worship. This is God dwelling in people and helping people in their worship. Because he goes on to say that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's kind of addressing here, that kind of concern. But I think there are a couple more things to note here about what is being said. He started off by saying that you were led astray to mute idols. In that pagan worship, you were being led astray. And by contrast, God does not lead us astray. God and the Holy Spirit does not lead us astray. And he's not mute either. God is not mute. God is a living God who wants to speak to his people. John 16, verse 13, kind of confirms this. Hopefully it's going to come up. Yay. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit does, then we've got our first point here. He guides us, and he speaks to us and reveals the voice of the Father. He doesn't speak on his own authority, but reveals the voice of God to us. He does not lead us astray like mute idols. He is not mute, but he's a living God who speaks to us. And already you may have picked up as well that we have different names here for the Holy Spirit as well. It says, no one speaking in the Spirit of God, ever says, and except in the Holy Spirit. And up here in this verse, it talks about the Spirit of truth. They are all just different names for the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the same person. And he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It says that here. He will speak. He will declare to you. It's very much talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. So different names for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us and reveals the voice of the Father to us. And also Paul's last bit here. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It's another thing that the Holy Spirit does as well. He dwells in us and he helps us in our worship to Jesus. He helps us to declare Jesus is Lord. It's another thing the Holy Spirit does. Let's move on to verse 4 and 5 and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Varieties of gifts. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He gives gifts to us to use to build up the church. And this is what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, looking at what those gifts are and how they should be used. And just to give you a little bit of an advanced look at what those gifts are, we've got them listed from this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. The gift of administration, apostleship, discernment, faith, healing, the gift of helps, knowledge, miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, gift of wisdom. They are the gifts that we have listed here in this chapter, but there are other gifts in other books of the Bible as well that the Holy Spirit gives for the building up of his church. The gift of exhortation, gift of giving, leadership, mercy, service, evangelism, pastor, hospitality, and some other kind of weird ones that we don't perhaps talk about too much. Gift of celibacy, the gift of martyrdom, a gift of being a missionary and being sent, the gift of voluntary poverty. They're kind of all the gifts that the Holy Spirit give for the building up of the church. Not only does he give the gifts, but Paul says here, actually, there's different ways in using them as well. There are varieties of service, whether you're a church leader, a trustee, a growth group leader, a team member, a regular attender of the church, young or old. We are all called to serve. There are varieties of service and gifts to use in that service. And he carries on again and says, actually, there's varieties of activities as well. So it doesn't matter how you're serving, but where you're serving. Gifts have been given by God not just to be used here on a Sunday morning when we meet together, but throughout the whole week. whether you are here in the building, helping out at Discovery Coffee, Sycamore Tree, Jubilee Tots, The Attic, whether you are meeting together in your growth groups, whether you are at work or at home or at school or college or in the marketplace or in Tesco's, there are a variety of gifts to be used in different ways of serving and service and in different activities. But again, there, if we dig a bit deeper into these verses, I think there's some other things that we can bring out of this. Firstly, did you notice the way that Paul said there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit? There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God. He mentions the Holy Spirit. He mentions Lord Jesus. He mentions God. He mentions the Trinity, the Godhead. Trinity isn't a word that we find in the Bible, but it's a word that we use to help explain the relationship between the three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is God. It's not like there's any kind of hierarchy to it, that it's perhaps the Father at the top, the Son in the middle, and then comes the Holy Spirit, who we don't quite understand, but we do our best. No, it's not that at all. They are all equal. They are all God. Three persons, yet God. And one day when we get to heaven, we will perhaps fully understand exactly how that works. But the Holy Spirit is God. Did you also notice the word same? I was so grateful for Lou when he came up and shared earlier. Paul says here, that variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God. As we've already heard this morning, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not like Paul was addressing the church in Corinth about the use of these gifts and it was for them only. We've already made reference to the fact that this letter is for everybody everywhere and that the gifts are for everybody everywhere. He finishes off this section, doesn't he, that God has empowered them all to everyone. All gifts to everyone. They are there for us to use today. They are there for us to ask for and use today. So how does all this apply to us today? Well, firstly, we need to be informed about the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. As Paul said to the church in Corinth, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to be informed. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He's part of the Godhead. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside every believer. He helps us in our worship to declare Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit, as we've looked at, he leads and guides us. And he reveals the Father's voice to us. And what we're going to particularly concentrate over the next few weeks is he gives gifts to the church for the building up of the church. But secondly, we need to be informed not only about the Holy Spirit, but about spiritual gifts. We need to know what those gifts are and how they should be used. And that's my cliffhanger. More coming next week. But also, once we have that understanding and we're informed about those gifts, then we need to use those gifts. They are there for us to use. However we are serving, in whatever activities we are taking part in, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for us today. I just want to end by looking at something that Jesus said in John about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. And Jesus said this. He said, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. So we get this kind of picture, don't we, from Jesus, that if you are thirsty for more of the Holy Spirit's activity in your life, then we are to come and to drink. And then we get this picture that actually as we drink deep, that there's rivers of living water that flow through us, that the Holy Spirit who dwells in us flows through us to others. There's a flowing of heavenly power that happens. And he said this about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. So if we believe and have faith in Jesus, then we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he has for building up the church. All we need to do is to come thirsty and to ask and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. If you were here last week at the beginning, you may have noticed a balloon. Did anybody see the balloon? Yeah, a few of you saw the balloon. There'd obviously been a party a bit earlier, and it was a helium balloon that had got stuck up in the rafters. But last week, the helium or whatever had seeped out, I don't know how it works, and the balloon started just to come down. And it got caught up in the air currents of the heating or whatever and started to move around this building. And actually, we were praying at the time, and I just caught a glimpse of it out of my eye and just made reference to it. Hey, look at that balloon just moving around, just hovering. Isn't that a great picture of the Holy Spirit? Just want him to come and hover over this place. But actually, the story didn't stop there. Because then young Alice spotted the balloon. And of course, she wanted that balloon. She wanted that balloon. And it kind of hovered over here and kind of kept going up and down. And it got to a point where she stood on a chair and she was on her tiptoes trying to reach and grab this balloon. But it went off again. She didn't get it. But then it moved over there a bit further and came down again. And she was able to jump from the floor and get it. And she got that balloon. And the smile on her face. Yeah, I've got it. And I thought that's just a wonderful picture that illustrates what Jesus is talking about here. If we are thirsty for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what will we do to reach out, to be able to receive him in our lives? Will we do all we possibly can? Don't know that we necessarily need to climb on chairs and start jumping up and down. But we certainly do need to not give up. We need to push in. We need to keep asking and to keep receiving. I think that's just a great opportunity to do that right now. Yeah? Should we spend some more time just worshiping God in his presence, asking for the Holy Spirit just to come and fill us afresh? As I already said, you know, the land needs watering. doesn't it? It needs the refreshing rain to fall upon it so things grow. We need to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit so that we can grow in our walk with Jesus. Should we stand together?